I'm Valerie. I'm an addict.
I'm Valerie.
I wasn't expecting it to escalate that quickly. And I might have to sit down here in a few minutes. I'm grateful to be here. This is like really nice up here. I've never been to this retreat before. You know, I've heard about it like every year, and it's just something like I never got around to going to. And when Liz, the programming chair, asked me to speak, I was like, wow, I don't, it's been like so long since I spoke at an NA meeting. I've kind of been like feeling like out of the loop and whatever. So it's just like really, really nice to, you know, to know my place like in Narcotics Anonymous and know that like, you know, no matter how I feel, like as long as I stay clean, I always have a place here. I like the topics. I'm like, oh, 1, 2, and 3, that's great. I've worked those steps. I have a little bit of an understanding of those steps. I was hoping the topic wasn't going to be something crazy. I don't know. I didn't get my morning coffee this morning, so I'm a little not prepared and focused. So I hope, you know, that this makes sense. But just like a little backstory, my clean date is June 7th, 2015. And, you know, coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I've learned so many things. And the most important being, like, that, you know, my clean date doesn't ever have to change. And when I speak in a meeting, I like to definitely, like, gear it towards, like, the newcomer, right? Because, like, when I was new, one of my favorite things was, like, going to a meeting where somebody was speaking because I didn't understand anything else. If you read something out of the book or you know, I was, like, so far gone that I didn't understand any of that. But, like, when somebody would get up and, like, tell their story, and I could just listen and not have to think of like what I was gonna say when it came to me. I could really get down with that. So, Okay. So like steps 1, 2, and 3. Those are definitely the steps that like I can say. You know, my recovery is like absolutely not perfect. I don't do everything right. I don't feel that I worked my steps fast enough, you know, whatever. I can pick apart my whole program if I feel like it. But 1, 2, and 3 is something that, like, I definitely know that I practice on a regular basis, and that's how I stay here. Those steps are, like, extremely, extremely important. And from the beginning when I got here, I've heard that, you know, if you work the first step, you know, that's the only step that you have to work perfectly to stay here. And you know, every day, you know, step one obviously is you know, all about surrender, all about admitting that like I can't handle you know, life by myself. It's not just about the drugs. It's not about, you know, my past relationships and like, you know, the people that were in my life, or it's not about how I grew up. Like, it's about like the disease of addiction, and everything, you know, in my life that like stems from that. Because everything, you know, addiction is like the centerpiece of like my body, my soul. Like, it's in me forever, and everything else like revolves around that. And unless I'm working a program, unless I'm like working these steps, it just like comes out everywhere. And it's not pretty, but, I'm really bad with time. So I'm going to grab my phone so I know how much I'm talking. I'm going to try to cover all of these steps. So, you know, when I first went over step one with my sponsor, I feel like with every step, I kind of like feel like maybe I'm not doing this right, you know? But step one was basically just, it all boiled down to that, like, I'm literally powerless over everything but my reactions to things. And, you know, in step one, it talks about all of the aspects of, you know, addiction, and it's mental, it's physical, and it's spiritual. And I can totally get with that. When I read step one for the first time, I could just like pinpoint, like, yes, like, okay, like the, you know, the physical, like, compulsion to use drugs and like what that feels like, and not understanding, you know, way before, like, I came to Narcotics Anonymous and knew that, like, you know, I had a disease and not a moral deficiency, you know, like it says in step one. But the compulsion to use, you know, the mental side being the obsession, I like literally thought that I was broken. You know, like, I either wasn't raised that way, or like, you know, the people that I grew up with weren't that way, or like, what was wrong with me? And I definitely was like one of those people that felt like it was like the moral deficiency, right? And not like a disease that could be like treated and I could get better. So when I read all that, it was really like relieving, like, okay, I think I'm gonna, you know, I think I'm gonna find some like relief working this step. And, you know, the spiritual aspect, that was like something like so far from my mind. Like, what is spirituality? Spirituality is like religion, right? Well, I don't like, you know, whatever. Thank God that I sat around here,
Daddy,
and was told, like, it's Daddy. Narcotics Anonymous is a Daddy. Spiritual, not religious program. And people sat me down and they were like, this is the difference between spirituality and religion. And, you know, you don't have to believe in anything right now. Like, just work step one. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to find anything that that you're not ready for. Like, you know, it was like all on my terms, and I could totally get with that. Because I wasn't really sure in the beginning that this was going to work. So I'm glad that I had people in my corner to, like, sit me down and say, like, you know, just, like, break apart, like, Narcotics Anonymous and tell me, like, what it was like, what it truly, truly was. And in step one, you know, it also talks about the, actually it's in step two. It's kind of hard to, like, you know, separate, like, especially, like, steps two and three for me. But, you know, step two, like, is all about, you know, knowing that there's, like, a power greater than myself. And I have to admit that I'm insane, right, to be able to take step two. And I definitely knew that. Like, I didn't have to, nobody had to tell me, like, this is what you're doing that's insane. I could totally get with it. I knew it. I knew that I was spiritually dead. I knew that, you know, I wanted to, like, kill myself every day when I was using drugs. And then I stopped using drugs, right? And I worked this first step. Like, yes, I'm powerless. Like, I know that I can't use, you know, any substance that's mind-altering. And I could get with that. But then step two also says that, like, step one leaves a vacuum. You know, like, that void that we have after the drugs stop, and then we don't have anything to fill, you know, that stuff with. And, again, I could also, like, so get with that. You know, again, thank God I was around some people in Narcotics Anonymous that loved me and told me to keep coming to meetings and get involved with service and do all that stuff, because if not, you know, that vacuum that's left in you after step one is a little bit unnerving. At least it was for me. So then, you know, going on to work step two and realizing that, like, okay, I know that I'm insane, but there's, like, a solution for it, right? There's a power greater than myself. Like, I could totally get with, like, addiction was, like, a negative power that was definitely greater than myself. But I didn't know if I really had faith in anything else. And it just, like, came with time. And it definitely just came with time. To this day, like, my step two is the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And the program and the steps. Like, that is most definitely a power greater than myself that is way beyond anything that I could have ever imagined when I first decided that, like, I wanted to get clean, because I thought it was going to be really, really hard, white knuckling it, being miserable, like, for the rest of my life, and not understanding, like, how I was going to stay clean. And step two kind of helped me, like, just give me, like, the confidence to be like, oh, okay, You know, I have people around me. I have these steps. I have this, you know, basic text. I have all of these things. I have tools now, right? Narcotics Anonymous, the power greater than myself, has given me all of these tools that I can use to find relief. Because, like, that's just something, like, that I was looking for, like, after step one, was just to be comfortable here and have that feeling of comfort and relief, knowing, like, things were going to be okay. And I think that, like, I got that, you know, I got that from step two. I definitely did. And I remember, like, working the first step and the second step. I'm like, yeah, I can get with this. This is cool. And then came, like, the third step. And I'm like, this is where it gets sticky for me, right? Because it says the word God. And I was, like, you know, on the fence with God. I grew up in the Catholic Church. Kind of, you know, just, like my whole life, just feeling out of place. Like, religion wasn't really my thing. My grandma would kill me if, like, she heard me say that right now, but, like, I could never get with it. And so my idea of God was, you know, doing these certain things, and if I didn't do these certain things, then I was going to go to, like, a really bad place. And, like, I just could never, I just, like, you know, I didn't try to understand that when I was little, and it just, like, followed me, like, into addiction, and, I guess I could say, like, I built a resentment against, like, what I thought that, you know, God was. So, like, step three was a little bit difficult for me, as I feel like it is for, like, a lot of people. And it's not a step that, like, I worked quickly either. I remember just, like, talking to a lot of people about, like, what their experience was with step three. Because, like I said, it said that, you know, God word, and, you know, whatever I believe now is most certainly not what I believed when I worked the third step for the first time. That's definitely been, like, an evolution process in my recovery. But, like, in the beginning, I wasn't ready for what I envisioned God to be. I wasn't ready to pray to that. I wasn't ready to turn my will and my life over to that. So, you know, my sponsor said, just, like, ask people, like, you know, what their experience was. And, you know, it says that in step three also, you know, just ask people, like, what was it like for you? And I remember talking to a lot of people that, like, I really respect in Narcotics Anonymous, that I know had, like, a lot of clean time and worked the program. I saw that they were involved with service. They were people that I trusted, right? And, everybody had, like, a very different approach to it. So that made me comfortable enough to be like, okay, so, like, there's no, like, right and wrong with, like, how I do this, you know? So this one specific person that I talked to, I still very much respect him. You know, he has ears clean, and he is still involved with service, you know, still does the NA thing, which I really respect. And he just said, like, basically, God is love. Like, God is God, right? God, whatever you want to call, like, you know, your higher power, is spiritual principles. And again, like, dumbing that down, that's something I could so get with. I could so get with, like, okay, so God is, you know, surrender, like, love, compassion, like, all of those good things. That's God's will for me, right? Doing all of those things. It's not addiction. It's not lying. It's not cheating. It's not stealing. It's not self-destruction. It's not self-obsession. Like, God is just good, right? So, like, even my third step has definitely evolved, like I said, from the first time I worked it, but I still can't say that, like, I'm one of those people that I can envision what my God looks like and stencil him and on a piece of paper, and, like, that's God, you know? It's still a learning process for me. And, you know, the relationship, it only grows, like, as much as I nurture it, too. Like, I there's a lot of mornings where I get up and, like, I don't pray. There's a lot of nights where, like, I go to sleep and I don't pray. and their relationship just doesn't evolve, right? If I do that, it's like any other relationship. You know, I can sit next to you for a year, and if we don't say one word to each other, we don't, you know, we don't get to know each other. We don't, you know, grow with each other, like whatever. And, you know, that is definitely like a relationship that needs constant work and constant nurturing. And it's still, like I said, it's still ever evolving. So I'm just like really, really grateful that even though I had all these expectations on NA and like what the steps were, and you know, this step says, you know, I'm insane. And yeah, I kind of like knew that I was insane, but like I had to, I still needed like some, I needed to work the steps, right? I needed to work that step with a sponsor to point out what was exactly insane about my behavior. I'm glad that, like, I didn't look at the word, excuse me, the word God and was, like, you know, threw my hands up, because, you know, there were a couple times that I feel like in very early recovery I wasn't very open-minded, and that's what I wanted to do. You know, and also with the first step, like, powerless, like, am I really powerless? And these are all things that, like, when I worked the step, I didn't have, like, any type of, like, wow, yeah, like, I get it, you know? It just kind of, like, I worked the step. I just moved on to the next one. And then eventually, they all started to make sense in my life. And I could pinpoint things, like, okay, I'm doing this. Like, I'm working a first step, or I'm doing this, and, like, that's the second step. And I'm waking up in the morning and I'm, you know, I'm praying and I'm selfishly, and like that's a third step. You know, having faith that things are like going to be okay and all of that. So I think it's just like really important, and I'm going to backtrack like to step one again, that like obviously like step one has to be worked perfect, right? Every day. And I'm not sure. Did we start like 5 minutes early? What time did we start?
You're good.
We're good. So like step one, I remember like when I worked this step initially, my sponsor had me like write down a list of all of these things that I was powerless over. And initially it was like hard for me. I was like, okay, I'm powerless over addiction. I'm powerless over the drugs. You know, I'm powerless, like, over, you know, whatever, like, these, like, bad things. But, like, you know, the truth is, like, I'm not that powerful, and I'm also, like, powerless over the good things, too, right? And learning to just go with the flow and roll with things and live life, is the greatest gift that I have received from Narcotics Anonymous. Because I don't fight with myself daily, you know? There was a point where I literally was just in pure agony every day, because my brain was just in constant chaos, you know? And not only like chasing the drug, and we all know what that's like, and it's terrible and it's painful, but just being a child, right? Like not knowing like how to get through each day, with my emotions, like how to act, whatever. I've literally become an adult in Narcotics Anonymous, because of the steps, because of, you know, working these steps in order, because of going over them with a sponsor and, you know, trusting in a second step and in a third step. You know, my life has like definitely, definitely become beautiful. You know, like I said initially, like surrender, everything about the first step was like about the drugs when I first got here. And it's always going to be about the drugs, right? But like, there's a lot of ways that like my disease manifests itself. Like on my way here, I'm like freaking out because I didn't get a coffee, right? Like I didn't get my morning coffee, and I'm not going to be able to speak, and I'm not going to know what I'm saying because I'm going to sound like an idiot because I don't have any caffeine in me. Why isn't there a Starbucks on the way here? Just obsession, right?
Starbucks.
Obsession.
Oh,
obsession.
No. Actual house.
Can't do that. Obsession, right? It's it's in so many aspects of my life. It's not just about the drugs. And I'm so thankful that I stayed around a little bit to realize that it's not just about the drugs, so I could grow spiritually, so I could grow, you know, as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, as a daughter, all of those things. Because, you know, in the beginning, it was all about drugs, and I thought that I was perfect. It was just the drugs, like, just take the drugs away, and I'll be good. And then you take the drugs away, right? And then it's like, wow, everything is still the same, except I'm not high. What the, you know? So thank God, like, just thank God that I've, you know, watched you guys. And, you know, surrender today for me is just being, like, so vigilant that I know that I just can't do certain things. Like, I don't go to the bar and order a Coke, you know? And if you do and that works for you, that's, like, great. But the way that my mind works, I absolutely have to stay 100% vigilant and work step one perfect every single day. Because I am, you know, I'm no further, you know, from the next one than I was 6 years ago. You know, I wouldn't say that I'm no closer, but, like, I'm no further than anyone else to pick up and use and, like, blow all of my hard work and clean time. Because I'm not working step one perfectly, you know? I don't know. I really hate speaking in front of people, especially when I'm pregnant. I don't even like speaking in a meeting. I feel like I get so out of breath. But, you know, when I was asked to speak here, I was like, think, right, addiction, right? This is addiction. I got the text message. I don't know. I was asked, like, 2 months ago or something, 6 weeks, maybe even longer. I don't know. I'm bad with time, like I said. And first thing I thought of was, like, I hope I work that day. Or maybe I do work that day. They don't know what day I work, you know? And then I reel it in, right? And I'm like, wow, that is sick thinking, you know? That is so sick. This program has saved my life, you know? Because people stood up here and talked, you know, and people drove, you know, an hour from their house to come talk and speak. And, like, that's why I'm here and that's why I'm clean. And it really is an honor, like, anytime I can do anything for Narcotics Anonymous, to just show up. Like, just show up and do it. Yeah, I don't know. I hope some of that made, you know, the least bit of sense. You know, like I said, I didn't have my coffee, and, you know, I'm grateful that, you know, my, you know, speaking partner was like, yeah, you can go first, because I have twins at home, and no babysitter today. Well, there's someone with them right now, but, and I was like, I might have to fly home, so, I'm not sure if I'm going to have to do that. I didn't get any warning signals or anything yet. So I'm grateful that I can, like, you know, stick around, hear somebody else speak. And I'm so grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. I'm so grateful for my clean date and my predecessors. Because as much as I want to pick apart any step and analyze it, none of that works if I do it by myself. None of it. You know, I need you guys. I need a sponsor. I need all of that. And I know that this is where I need to stay if I want to continue to be a happy, healthy, productive member of society that takes care of her children and shows up to work, you know, and helps other people, and, you know, and doesn't get high. And, like, this is it for me. This is where I have to come. So I'm super grateful to see some faces that I have not seen in a really long time, too. So even though I hate speaking, you know, driving here was, like, that was worth it. I'm glad that I was asked to speak, and it feels, like, really nice, like I said, to kind of, like, do something for my recovery that's different from just, like, going to, like, meetings and doing the things that I've been doing. So there was a lot of steps 1, 2, and 3 coming to the, you know, decision that, yes, I'm going to come here, right? I surrender. I know I need to come here because it's Narcotics Anonymous, and I'm working a first step. Like, I surrender. I know I can't, you know, I can't say no because I can't do this thing on my own. You know, second step, third step, there was a lot of praying involved with this. I'm like, you know, I don't know if, you know, if my higher power's gonna make anything make sense when I get up there, but I sure got a hell of a lot out of coming here, and I'm glad that I did. So, yeah, I'm glad to be here, and thanks for letting me share, guys.
Thank you for sharing your experience, Strength and Hope, Valerie. I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Ben A. from the NA Way Group of NA in the Lamahana area of NA. Thank you.
My name's Ben. I'm an addict.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah, when I was asked to speak here, it was suggested to me in the beginning that I never turn down a speaking engagement because NA saved my life, right? Well, I know I can give back in some way of service, but I did have the same kind of thoughts. Like, I hope that I work that day, or what can I do to get out of this, you know what I mean? And I'm an overthinker, right? So I overthink everything. I try to plan. Last night I was writing talking points on a note card, but I purposely left them at home this morning because I don't need talking points. You know, this is my life. This is my story. And steps 1, 2, and 3 are a huge part of it. I did reread the steps last night, you know, and step one, like, I didn't come into these rooms, like, brimming with hope and happiness, and it was desperation at the end. And I was kind of forced to come into these rooms. I was the guy that thought NA was, like, a cult or, like, just a room full of people that complain about things, you know what I mean? And when I first got here, it, like I said, it was just out of pure desperation. My life was definitely unmanageable. And it took me a while. I had tried the program once or twice before, right? And the first step for me is so important because I could admit that I was powerless, right? But the problem was I wasn't accepting it yet for me. So when I came into the rooms, I was so beaten and broken spiritually that I just sat in meetings and listened, right? And I heard people that were happy. They were going through tough times in their life. And they were still clean, right? That was hard for me to believe because I couldn't get a day clean for the longest time. So people that had multiple years or even multiple weeks or months, you know, that seemed unbelievable to me. I almost didn't believe people when they told me that. That's my thinking, right? These people are lying. They're okie-doking me. They're not telling the truth. When really it was me that was lying to myself, right? Step one was a big part of my recovery, and just getting honest with myself is kind of how I started that step, because I was in denial for so long, right? And what I realized after a while of being in the rooms is that my disease is not just the drugs, right? They're just a symptom. So my disease is definitely physically, mentally, and spiritually spread all throughout my life, and I didn't realize that until listening to some people and taking suggestions from some predecessors. I used to just think, well, if I quit this drug, I'd be fine, you know, or if I just do this, I'd be fine. But I did all that, right? I did all the substitution, I did all the Ben's way of the program, I justified and rationalized my way into every relapse, pretty much, you know? Until finally I was like, you know, maybe I do have the disease of addiction, you know? And it was kind of a relief for me whenever I came in and finally surrendered fully, you know, and like took a good look at my reservations and realized that if I'm not willing to surrender, right, then my life is not going to get better. I'm going to die an addict. And there was a long time period where I thought I was going to die an addict, you know, like that was just it for me. I'd wake up every day in misery and desperation, and I would hate myself, and people would hate me, and that's just the way my life was. But after I came to the rooms and I heard some of the suggestions, and I actually became willing and open-minded, and I surrendered, my life was definitely unmanageable, right? And that's another thing I used to do. I would just think that, well, if I had a job, if I was consistently working or paying my bills, or if I had a girlfriend, or if my family was talking to me, right, I used to think that equaled recovery, right? But it says in there that social acceptability does not equal recovery. So that's when I started working on things internally. Self-obsession. The biggest one for me is the spiritual part of my disease, self-obsession. Kind of like the member before me said, like, my perception of myself was way off. I thought that I was perfect. I thought I didn't have any defects. I thought that I was smarter than the disease of addiction. I used to think that I could read my way out of it or think my way out of it, or you know what I mean? Well, these other people, like, maybe they have the disease of addiction, but I don't. It was very humbling for me, too. All the spiritual principles throughout, you know, steps 1, 2, and 3, there's so many spiritual principles in there. And I work steps 1, 2, and 3 every single day. I have to. Because if I don't, I forget. You know what I mean? I forget that I'm an addict. I take my will back. I don't surrender. And I know where that leads me. And step one is the only step, pretty much, that I had to work perfectly. Because like I said before, nothing would change if I didn't. And I'm glad I came to the rooms, and I'm glad I stuck around, even though I was pretty much forced to go there. And then step two, right, that void that we try to fill. And I think that's what happened before. Before I came to the rooms, I would white knuckle it, or I would try to stay absent. But the problem was, I wasn't filling that void with anything else. You know, I would just not get high, but I wasn't working on myself spiritually. And I was told in the beginning that I need to change a few things, right? And that's everything. Who we were, we'll use again, is what I was told. So, and by that time, I realized that jails and institutions, for me, are just like pit stops on the way to death. So was I willing to do something maybe uncomfortable, more than I was willing to die? Probably. And I think that's what kind of motivated me to start working the steps. And step two, oh man, the higher power thing, I struggled with that for a long, long time. And then in one of my first meetings, I heard, at that time he was not my sponsor, but he now currently is, I heard him say that he was the least religious person in the room. And I was like, all right, I'm probably going to ask him to be my sponsor, because I feel the same way. I don't know, I just have a bad taste in my mouth from religion. And I thought that I had to define my higher power. It had to be some perfect being that you know, fixed all my problems. But for me, and the step says we came to believe, right? So that was a process. I didn't just come into the rooms and, like, instantly believe in a higher power. I had to come to believe that. Also that I was insane, right? Some of the things, when I think back on them, or when I thought back on them at that time, things I did were totally insane, right? Putting my faith. And I had a conversation around that time, and I was like, I have a hard time putting my faith in anything, right? And it was told to me that I put my faith in the dope man. I put faith in my own self-will. So if I can put faith in the dope man, why wouldn't I not put faith in this program, right? Something that's saving my life, not something that's killing me. And that made a huge difference for me. And I started looking at the higher power thing in a different way, right? And one of the things I couldn't explain at that time was how I came into the rooms and people were happy. You know what I mean? They were happy. They were living the life. People had what I wanted, right? And I couldn't get a day clean. So I just started using that as my higher power. And obviously, like that's evolved since then, you know? But it was a really good start. Step two is probably the hardest step so far for me, and it still is, right? Because I still question myself daily, like, do I really, you know what I mean? Like, do I really believe in this? Like, do I really, like, pray or meditate? Because I'm not, like, one of those people, I don't pray, but I meditate, and I feel weird when I do it, but it's working for me, right? And now, I still use the rooms mostly, right? But there's a lot of things that I can't explain that happen to me. There's a lot of things that happen in these rooms that I can't explain. The feeling you get whenever you come here, you hear people speak, for me, that's enough. And man, I'm just thinking about the insanity of it all. When I was reading through the steps last night, I was going back to thinking about some of the insane things that I did. One that popped into my mind was I used to tell my mom that I owed a drug dealer money and he was going to hurt me if I didn't pay her, right? And just now, like, thinking back on that, because she would give me the money always, right? And that was, like, one of my favorite scams to run. But just thinking of how insane that is, right? To put my mom through that, to put my family through that. And just the self-obsession is just, it's gnarly. And I still have moments like that, right? Kind of like coming here to speak or any way that I can find a loophole, right? As an addict, that's what I do. I'm always looking for the path of least resistance. So any way that I can find a loophole or find a way out of something or manipulate a situation, I will think about it, right? And the thoughts cross my mind. So like I was saying before, it's not really about the drugs. It was for me, right, in the beginning. But to me, now, like the manipulation, the lying, the ungratefulness, the irritability, that's whenever I know that I'm spiritually unfit, you know? And that's whenever I have to go back to step one and step two and three, honestly. So at that point, right, then step two gave me the hope that maybe I could do this, you know what I mean? Maybe I could stay clean if I just had a higher power. I continued surrendering, right, and I took some suggestions and did what I was told by my predecessors, or suggested by my predecessors, that everything would work out, right? And that's where step three. Step three says we made a decision. And that decision is made for me, like I said, on a daily basis. So it was really hard for me to do that at first because I like being in control. I like to think that I'm in control of my life and everything around me, right? But that's just not the truth. And I'll tell you what, the more time that passes, the more that I try to tell myself that too. Like, the more time that goes on, the more I try to convince myself that maybe I got it, right? Maybe I'm not an addict. Maybe I can do it this time. Like, maybe if I just have a beer or smoke a joint, maybe I can handle it. And I might be able to for a day, a week, a month maybe. But eventually I know where that leads. More is always better for me. That's what people, when people ask me what the disease of addiction is like for me, I start off by saying more is better. If there's something that I like and that I can escape from, more is better. And so I make that decision every day, because if I don't, I forget where I came from. And I don't like it. I don't like turning my will over. It's very uncomfortable. But just having that faith, right, that everything's going to be all right, you know, that's what I kind of went over in my head this morning. I'm like, you know what, no matter what I say or how it sounds, right, it's coming from my heart. It's coming from my life. This is, like I said before, this is my life. This is what got me clean. So being in a room or an amphitheater full of people that are like-minded, just like me, right, this shows me how the program works. I remember my first time coming to this retreat a couple years ago, and just like the clean time countdowns and everybody being together, the circles at the end of the serenity prayer, like that to me just reinforces my higher power. Today I have a little bit, because of steps 1, 2, and 3, right, I have a little bit of serenity. I have a little bit of peace in my life. I'm still very obsessive. I'm still very compulsive. And I used to think that turning my will over, right, and back to step 1, admitting that I was powerless, I used to think that was a sign of weakness, right? And it was explained to me by my sponsor that, like, you're actually taking the power away from the addiction when you do that. So that, it gave me a really good outlook and a really good mindset for the next steps, you know what I mean? And I'm so happy that my topic was steps 1, 2, and 3 because, oh man, any of the other steps, I just don't know. They're a little painful. And like I said, steps 1, 2, and 3 are the only ones that I continuously think about every single day. I'm just grateful to be here. You know what I mean? It's been a process. The whole thing has been just one long process. But my life today, because of steps 1, 2, and 3, not only do I have serenity and peace, but like I have like more faith than I've ever had before in this program, and that I can stay clean. There's times where I take the control back, right? I try to self-will things, and every time I do that, I'm met with resistance. I'm met with more pain and misery. And I've learned that the more I try to control things, the worse it is for me. And if I just let go, even though life on life terms is hard sometimes, right? And it says in the literature how we'll try to control certain aspects of our, or we'll try to turn our will over in certain aspects or certain parts of our life, and other aspects we don't want to, you know? And there's just some things that I was talking to a person the other day, I don't really have any patience. I don't know if that's something I can pray my way into or try to get more of, but it just doesn't happen for me, especially when I'm driving. I have a lot of road rage, and steps 1, 2, and 3 work great when that happens, but I'm not perfect, you know? So, but it is very freeing, right? This program has given me the freedom from active addiction. And I also know that if I don't work the first 3 steps, right, I'm just one bad day, one bad mood away from relapsing and being right back where I started. So I have to be very vigilant, right? Cunning, baffling, and powerful is this disease, and it's gotten me in the past every single time. So having a sponsor to work these steps with, that was key, right? Because I didn't really understand, like I said, admitting the first step, yeah, that was fine. I'd be like, yeah, sure, I'm an addict. Yeah, sure, my life's unmanageable, whatever. But to gain a deeper understanding of that, right, I had to get a sponsor, and I had to work steps and write on the steps and go through them. That helped me tremendously, because if it wasn't for this program and my sponsor and my Wii, I would have probably given up a long time ago. I would have stopped at step 2, because the higher power thing would have scared me off. I would have not wanted to turn my will over, and it definitely would have allowed me an excuse to leave before the 4th step, right? And right around the time that I was working my 3rd step, I believe, I started thinking about the 4th step, and I was like, listen, I don't know, because taking a look at yourself is painful. Like I said at the beginning, my perception of myself was completely off, and I don't want to know my defects, right? I don't want to turn my defects over. I don't want to know that I'm imperfect. Humility also came with steps 1, 2, and 3. So they've laid the foundation for me to work the other steps upon. And I'm grateful for that. Powerless, man. The whole time I'm speaking, the word powerless is just keeps coming up in my head for some reason. And I'm not sure why that is, but it's very humbling to realize that I do have the disease of addiction. I do have maybe a thinking problem, not just a drug and alcohol problem. And so, but when I came into the rooms and I admitted I was powerless and accepted that, it was like the best and worst day of my life. So, I don't know, man. I just have to remember that, right? Stay vigilant. Complacency, steps 1, 2, and 3 keep me from becoming complacent. And every time I get complacent, right, like I said before, the irritability, the ungratefulness, the complacency, every time that I feel that, I know that I need to change something. I need to get back on track. I probably don't call my sponsor as much as I probably should. I probably don't do my step work as often as I should. I probably don't go through as many meetings as I should. So, right, and whenever I feel that, so I'm going to have to change that, right? I'm going to have to start calling my sponsor more. I'm going to have to start doing these things, because if not, it'll take me right back. And this is my first time speaking at an event like this. I'm extremely nervous. But I'm glad I came though, because I really was thinking of like every excuse to get out of it at the beginning. But I'm glad I came. I'm glad you guys are here. My disease, that's what my disease does to me, right? It tells me that I'm not good enough, that I'm unworthy, that people are going to judge me, that I don't deserve to be clean, right? But that higher power, whatever concept that may be for me today, that's what keeps me coming back. The weed, you guys keep me coming back. And the faith that I thought I never had today is stronger than ever. And I have to remember that. And sometimes I have to go back and tell myself that, like, yeah, I put a lot of faith in myself, and Ben's program doesn't work, so I got to keep doing the things that my predecessors did that work, you know? Recovery is not easy for me. I thought that's my self-obsession, right, my entitlement. I thought whenever I got clean, or I thought after I worked a few steps that my life would be better, right? That social acceptability thing, I thought that people would give me their respect back, people would give me the trust back, people would start looking at me in a different light. And that's just simply not the truth, you know. It good days and bad days still, but when I work those steps, right, my life is a lot better, no matter what's going on, even through the hard things, right? Again, like the person said before me, like, the only thing I have control over is my reaction to certain things. And as long as I'm practicing spiritual principles and staying in contact with my higher power and working a program, then I have faith that no matter what happens to me, I can get through it clean. I don't have to pick up, I don't have to use, I don't have to run from my problems. I can live life on life terms. And I'm really grateful for that. Without Narcotics Anonymous, I wouldn't have that today. I don't know where I'd be today without Narcotics Anonymous. Probably dead, because I've tried everything my own way, and it didn't work. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for you guys to be here today. I'm grateful for this program. And I'm grateful for my higher power. And I think that's all I got.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Could we please have the reading just for today from the podium?
No, do the care. Don't get it wrong.
Gabe, I'm not.
Gabe!
Just for today, tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without these drugs. Just for today, I'll have faith in someone, and then anyone who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using me, and finding a way of life. So long as I fall that way, I have nothing to do.
Thanks, Gabe. We have a nice way of closing. Can we please form a circle and close with the wee version of the Serenity Prayer?